Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH, streaming on the KTTH smartphone app. Major League Baseball is giving a big thank you gift to the city of Seattle. I think we should be the ones saying thank you to the MLB. That is what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
So the MLB and the Mariners, they're giving $2 million to the city of Seattle ahead of the All-Star game that will be happening and all the festivities attached to it. It's happening on July 7th. It goes through July 11th. Fun and frivolity, baseball and blah, 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 blah. And what they're doing here is $2 million is part of something called the All-Star Legacy Initiative. And it's supposed to be used to renovate certain projects that are currently underway at the city level. And in this case, it's going to be going towards the Rainier Playfield that's located in the Columbia City neighborhood. This according to Como TV. Now, that's all well and good. Yay. But it's more like the $2 million is just going to be a reimbursement, at least partially, for what the city is about to spend money on. Something that it shouldn't take an all-star game to do, which is clean up downtown and Pioneer Square. As we told you when the president was in town several months ago, last year, there was this encampment, this series of tents, really, near the light rail station that's closest to my apartment. And it had been there for a long time. Long enough where if I opened my window, I could start smelling the encampment at some point. If on a day where there's just a little bit of a breeze, boy, would that get to my apartment. It's not pleasant. And the second that we learned that President Biden was coming to town, staying at the Westin Hotel that's about a block away, not even, all of a sudden, bam, it was cleaned up. They got rid of that. Oh, it had nothing to do with Biden. That was scheduled to be cleaned anyway. Uh-huh, right. So ahead of this All-Star game, we know exactly what's going to occur. They're going to start cleaning things up downtown, in Pioneer Square, in Soto. They're going to start cleaning it up. Here's a problem, though. Especially if we have nice weather that week, and I imagine, given the date, we probably will. Good luck handling the homelessness crisis in that area once you clear it a few days beforehand. Good luck keeping them back, keeping them out, because they're going to come back. Understand that this is not a one-time encampment that's set up. For those of you who have gone to downtown or Pioneer Square lately, you know exactly what it is I'm talking about. For those of you who haven't been down there for a while, ooh, it has changed pretty significantly. And so once you do the clearing, how long before they return? I'm willing to bet they clear it July 5th and 6th. They're back on the 9th. Because you've got the Union Gospel Mission down there. You've got the service providers down there. They bring the homeless to the area. And a lot of times they just kind of stay there. They don't leave. What's been going on in 3rd and Pine? Previously it was cleared. It was a mess. Well, it's starting to get bad again. It's not nearly as bad as it once was, thank God. But it's starting to get that homeless addiction brand again, unfortunately. Now, Como is reporting that the Mariners VP and legal counsel, his name is Fred Rivera. He says that there have been some conversations between the team and the city about some of the, let's just call them concerns that they might have about what's going on. The Mariners have even sent emails to ticket holders looking for feedback about any safety issues or problems, which I imagine you're going to get the same response over and over and over again, which is just there's a lot of homelessness and trash. Parking, unfortunately, has been taken over in some instances. Again, in fairness, it used to be much worse. But in some instances, by broken down RVs, you've got homeless people surrounding the place. It's not great. Here's Deputy Mayor Monisha Harrell to Como.
So we are constantly working together. This is not just for the All-Star game, but this is really part of our work to get the city back on track.
Does anyone actually believe that? Because you're going to see a night and day difference, and it's going to happen almost literally overnight. And we're supposed to believe it has nothing to do with the All-Star game. We were doing this anyway. Stop it. I know why they want to pretend otherwise, because think about the message that it sends, that it takes a visit from the president or a visit from the All-Star players and MLB before they actually get control of a neighborhood, or in this case, several neighborhoods. What message does that send? You and I, the taxpayer, we don't matter. But if ESPN's in town and whoever's broadcasting the
usually
game.
Usually Fox.
Fox is in town.
Same point.
But once they're in town, all of a sudden we got to clean things up. It's not like they show any of the bad stuff anyway.
No, we're not going to have cutaways of the 3rd Street encampment. It's going to be the fish market.
I've never seen a cutaway from any Seahawks game or Sounders game or anything in which they go down to 3rd and Pine and see some guy having just smoked fentanyl, just bent over at the waist, and you're like, how is he standing up? I've never seen that. I've only seen pictures of our beautiful waters and a little salmon jumping out. It's in danger, too, so it's even more special. And then you get the weird, you know, image of the Space Needle that must be extremely old and pre-recorded, because how was the weather so nice on that day? They've never actually shown us what it's like in the Seattle area. So what exactly do they think they're going to get? Now, Monisha Harrell says that they're going to at least clean up some of the areas that the tourists are going through.
We continually work to make sure that the pathway from, say, the waterfront, the Seattle hotels to the stadium, that they feel safe for everybody who's going to be patronizing.
Just real quick, and I'll let her finish. If this is what she considers to be good work, constantly working to get that cleared up. Mission unsuccessful, my friend. Completely unsuccessful. I don't know if she's ever been downtown. I know the specific area she's talking about, where it starts and where it ends. And I go there semi-frequently. I was just there 3 weeks ago doing that walk with someone who was in town from New York, and she wanted to see what it was really like. Yeah, we found out what it was really like. But please continue. Tell me how you're doing such an amazing job.
Patronizing the games. So we will do that. We will continue to walk those pathways. We'll continue to note where there might be some need for improvement.
Yeah, it's literally the whole mile or however long it is. 2 miles, whatever it is. It's that entire length. Well, we're going to continue to take notes. How many more notes can you take? I mean, all you have to do, this is a perfect way to experience Seattle. And by perfect, I mean an accurate way that you're going to really hate yourself for doing. This is what I want you to do. You go down anywhere between Pike Place Market, which is where the hotel areas she's talking about are, and the stadium. All you have to do this. And then this is going to be the follow-up. Trying to hold in the vomit. Because it smells of urine and sometimes worse. It permeates the entire area. There are some blocks that are so bad you can taste it. That's how bad it is. And again, I know this unfortunately from experience. Mariners VP Fred Rivera said, well, one thing that we definitely want taken care of, we got all these issues and we'll talk about them, but can we at least get some lighting?
We want to make sure that walking path, that experience, is ready for them when they're here in July. And part of that includes it being clean, it being visibly appealing, and also have lighting. And there is lighting under an overpass there.
Do people travel in significant numbers for the baseball All-Star game?
I mean, I think there will be a decent influx of people here for it, yeah.
Do we sell our own tickets? Or do we have to go through a different, right?
It's not it's the Mariners. It's probably through the league, I would anticipate. Tickets are, like, otherworldly expensive. It's, like, $600 for, like, the cheapest tickets.
Oh, my God.
Do we get free ones here?
Probably. You don't, but, I mean.
Well, I know.
I'm a talent.
Yeah, but you would get the free tickets, and you would have no interest in going.
Yeah, I'd give them to someone I like.
Yeah, that's fair.
I give them to you. What have you done for me lately?
Produce the show?
Oh, that's right.
But no,
sometimes I forget that.
Doesn't this whole thing feel like if your parents, your mom, your dad asked you to clean up the living room, we're having company over.
It's exactly what it is.
And you're just putting all the junk in your bedroom?
You're shoving it all into a closet, and that's it. And any open drawer that has just a little bit of space, put it in there. That's what you're doing. And it's still there. It's just slightly out of sight. But at some point, it starts to develop again after you clean. Like I've done, most of us have done really good jobs just cleaning your apartment or home. You're like, I'm going to get this done. And it is spotless, only to look exactly the way it did previously, maybe 4.5 days later. That's what's going to happen. And that's what I'm talking about when I say, you know, July 7th through the 11th, they're going to start it July 5th is my guess. And maybe they'll do it right before the holiday. It's not going to stay clean that much longer. Can they at least power wash the sidewalks, for God's sake? Just power wash the sidewalks, please. Push the button.
What's trending? Everything is racist.
Well, there was an internal review by NBC Sports out of California, and specifically Oakland. The announcer for the A's, Glenn Kuiper, he has been fired for unintentionally saying the N-word live on air. It's a story that broke earlier this morning. Here he is in his on-air gaffe.
We had a phenomenal day today. League Museum and Arthur Bryant's Barbecue.
Now, what he was trying to say was Negro League Museum. And he, I'm assuming, was trying to say it with a certain, not accent per se, but like a drawl. I don't know. But he accidentally says the N-word. He clearly didn't intend to. And it might have also been a case, and I have such a fear of this, where you're saying to yourself, don't say something, and then you say it. I just, especially for someone who talks into a microphone and a camera, that fear goes through my head. I say to myself, this word sounds like, insert whatever, you know, vulgarity it sounds like. Don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it. And then you accidentally say it. So he ends up in that broadcast. I think he waited till like the sixth inning. And then he apologized.
Welcome back to Kauffman Stadium. I just wanted to, a little bit earlier in the show, I said something didn't come out quite the way I wanted it to. And I just wanted to apologize if it sounded different than I meant it to be said. And like I said, I just wanted to apologize for that.
Okay. You don't have to apologize to me. I wasn't offended. Let's be clear. No one was offended. People were, I don't know, surprised. It certainly went viral. Weirdly enough, I didn't see a lot of pressure to have him fired. Usually you will see that on Twitter. It's pretty easy to find someone calling for another person's termination. Didn't really see that with him. Did you? There was no big
push.
Not a
ton. I saw the clip a lot.
Yeah, I saw the clip too. I don't remember anyone saying it was malicious, that this was intentional, that he's a virulent racist. This is white supremacy culture in action and systems of oppression, it turns out, are also play-by-play for baseball. I didn't see any of that. And yet, the statement that was released by his station is so weird to me. They say, following an internal review, the decision has been made for NBC Sports California to end its relationship with Glenn Kuiper, effective immediately. We thank Glenn for his dedication to the Bay Area baseball over the years. Now, according to someone familiar with the investigation speaking to the AP, they said the decision was made in light of, quote, information uncovered in the internal review. What could they have possibly found? That he's a member of the KKK? What could they have found? It was an on-air comment. It was clearly a mistake. Unless they found during their investigation him saying, I got an idea. I'm going to pretend to accidentally say the N-word and then apologize. This is my one opportunity. Because when will I ever be able to say the name of this museum ever? Oh, let me take it. Unless you found that, or I suppose maybe after this all happened, maybe he went on social media and we missed it and he was bad-mouthing the investigation? I don't know. But what could they have possibly found in an internal investigation that warranted his firing? Because you've got lots of people, including the president of the museum. His name is Bob Kendrick. He spoke with KPIX TV out of the Bay Area, and he's all like, why would you fire this?
It's a painful lesson for all of us. It also lets us know, again, in this crazy world, particularly this crazy world of social media that we live in now, a simple mistake can be compounded in such a way. And I think that's the thing that I found to be a little bit disheartening. Again, personally speaking, I did not want to see Glenn lose his job over this. It's sad that he will have to pick up the pieces now.
And again, the weird thing is there was no significant call for his termination. So they made this into a cancel culture issue. Again, unless there was something dramatic that they found in their investigation. But I can't imagine what that could possibly be. Now, he's put out a statement that said, please know racism is in no way a part of me. It never has been and it never will be. I appreciate the Negro League Museum President Bob Kendrick and the Oakland A's great Dave Stewart's public support of me in light of this. I am an honest, caring, kind, honorable, respectful husband and a hero. Please praise me. I added that. And father who would never utter a disparaging word about anybody, except for this one instance, but I promise it was a mistake. I added that last part. Those who know me best know this about me. I wish the Oakland A's and NBC Sports would have taken into consideration my 20-year career, my solid reputation, integrity, and character. God, you know, he loves himself. Now I'm against him. I don't like it when you can't keep singing your praises that much in a statement.
He's a good broadcaster. I like him. But also,
do people know who he is?
I mean, I know who he is.
But I said people.
Probably not. You might know his brother's the voice of the Giants. They sound exactly
the same. Oh, I
know that.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah,
but I was a big fan of it.
How hard is it to just not say that? I mean, you talk on a microphone a lot. So do baseball broadcast. How many times have you
Have I said that N-word for the museum just now? Twice. You know what? How many times has it been written in this AP story? Multiple times. What have I been saying? Museum.
What?
I've been just saying museum.
Oh.
I've been saying the full thing. With two exceptions, all I've been doing is saying museum. Why am I doing that? I don't want to say something by accident.
Well, I understand. But I don't know. I don't think that's should be something you could
You've
say by...
You've never accidentally said something. Have you ever accidentally cussed in front of your parents?
On occasion.
I mean, I cussed in front of your mother when she was here.
So that's true.
But have you ever done that intentionally? No. It just kind of comes out. You're like, oh, I should have done that. That's what happened.
Accidentally swearing and accidentally saying a racial slur, I feel like
that
are two
is very
categories.
Similar to the word
similar.
In which he was saying.
I understand.
I'm just saying that. And again, there has been no push for him to be fired, as best as I can tell. So what is the intention here? That you can never make a mistake? Because if that's the case, and certainly there are varying degrees of mistakes one would make in front of a camera or behind a microphone, but we all make mistakes. And if there was no ill intent, if he otherwise has a perfect record, if no one is actually pushing for him to be terminated, you shouldn't terminate. It's really that simple.
I mean, I'm with you on that.
No, it's that simple.
Okay. They're also about to relocate the team, and a 20-year broadcaster probably has a lofty salary, and they're probably trying to cut budget.
Okay, then say that.
That's what I was getting to.
Just come out and say that.
But also, I just don't think that's a mistake.
Why smear this guy? Because now he's going to have to say, yeah, I was terminated for saying the N-word. Why do that to him? That's just cruel.
I mean, that he said it. I think.
Oh, shut up.
It's not up to him at that
point. You're a heartless, cold person. And I never want to get on the wrong side of you. Because you'll throw me under the bus in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I mean, and in fairness, all the words I could get fired for, I say openly to you.
But you, even in off-air conversations, I've never heard anything close to that.
I've never used a racial slur in front of you.
Well, not that one.
I've never used that racial slur. I don't use racial slurs. It's not part of my vernacular. I do cuss a lot. And I do have a fear that I'll accidentally say something on air one day.
But it's never happened. You've been doing this for how long?
Not 20 years.
Not how long have you been doing this?
Well, this like yeah. this right now
in yeah.
this show, 4 years, 5 years.
Oh, really?
Well, I was doing mornings. Does that count?
Well, yeah. How long have you been on the radio air? Doing your own thing?
Oh, since I was 15 years old. So I've been doing this pretty consistently for a while.
Never sworn on air, right?
I don't think I've accidentally sworn on air.
Have you done it on purpose?
I mean, I might have done it on purpose once or twice. I don't remember. I imagine I would probably remember that. But remember, for folks at home, this is a little bit inside baseball. We have a button. It's called the dump button. It's got 8 seconds. What you're hearing right now happened 8 seconds ago. Think about that for a moment. And the reason why we do that is in case I do say something bad, we can hit that button. And when we hit that button, it does not give you the previous 3 seconds, 3 seconds, and then 2 seconds. That's how it works. And that is a little bit of a fail-safe just in case. Now, usually it's not used for me or any host. It's usually because, let's just throw out a random example that a quality producer would never actually do. Leave in a cuss word, not bleep it out, before giving it to the host to play on air. And of course, it was that one day that host, who, brilliant guy, very attractive, very humble, he did not have the opportunity to preview that audio, and so he played it blind. And that was his fault. Thinking that his producer would not screw it up, that was totally on him. So, you know, he'll take a little bit responsibility. But like in a case like that, sometimes then the button gets pushed.
Yeah, that was a hypothetical, right?
Oh, totally. That definitely never happened. 1-800-465-8770 for your text. 1-800-465-8770. The IRS continues to be aggressive. They're increasing the numbers of officers in Washington state. So don't try to take on the IRS yourself. Contact our local tax expert and advocate. His name is Greg Nunn, N-U-N-N, Nunn Better Tax Resolution. Welcome back to the Jason Grant Show. We are here on this Tuesday afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in. We got word today that Governor Ron DeSantis will be announcing his presidential campaign tomorrow, right at 3 o'clock, right when the show starts. And it's being done with the help of Elon Musk. It's being done on Twitter. Elon Musk and Ron DeSantis are part of some, it's not really an official campaign event or campaign announcement, but it's a part of a panel, and it's going to be moderated by an entrepreneur named David Sachs. And at some point during all of this, he will make his announcement. We're also expecting tomorrow that he'll file the presidential paperwork with the FEC, basically saying, yep, we're in it. And of course, what normally happens is we get a video dropped announcing the campaign, and what we'll likely see is a bunch of images of Democrat-run cities under assault. We'll see propaganda in schools, and then it'll cut to a city that we want to live in, one that isn't being hit with record levels of crime. And I'm sure we'll see a classroom that has 2 + 2 = 4 on the chalkboard instead of 2 + 2 × 14 is the number of genders you can all have at once should you choose to listen to my propaganda. It'll be something like that. Ahead of that, Ron DeSantis, just about 15, 20 minutes ago, as we were coming into the studio, his team released a teaser video.
They call it faith because in the face of darkness, you can see that brighter future.
See DeSantis on stage.
Our best days lay ahead of us. But is it worth the fight? Do I have the courage? Is it worth the sacrifice? America has been worth it every single time.
Gives a number, text, whatever to whatever, and then he walks out on stage. So he's obviously, I mean, that's a cool video. I thought it was really effective, very low key as far as the imagery is concerned, but you see him backstage getting ready to go up and say something, and obviously you heard the message there. So he's running. He thinks this country is worth it. He's, of course, 100% correct. And he's going to be a serious contender for Donald Trump. And what you're going to have happen is the hardcore Trump supporters are going to continue their attacks on Ron DeSantis, while at the exact same time, MSNBC, CNN, the New York Times, all the left-wing media outlets will do exactly the same. And there is the potential that it explodes in Trump's face. Because when people go after someone who Republicans really, really, really like, Ron DeSantis is incredibly popular within the party. You go after him, even if you're a Trump supporter, you're going to feel a little bit uncomfortable to start. Then you're going to notice that it is MSNBC talking points now being used by the Trump team. And you're going to feel even more uncomfortable, and you're going to be forced into a decision. Because these two do not appear to be the kind of politicians who will be on the same ticket. Meaning Ron DeSantis is not running to be VP the way that most likely, at least from a voter perspective, Haley and Scott are coming off as. Nikki Haley, Tim Scott, both running for president. Seems like they're more running to be vice president. They would never say that. But that generally is how they're being viewed because no one really knows who they are. Donald Trump is way ahead of Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis hasn't announced, so I don't know if it's fair to compare the two. And they haven't been on stage together. They haven't. Now, I don't know how Ron DeSantis handles himself in debates. I've seen a couple of clips from his debate running for governor against Chris Christie, or not Chris Christie, the other guy. The other guy who used to be a Republican and now claims otherwise, or the other way around. You've got Ron DeSantis on a stage against someone like Donald Trump, who we all know is actually, maybe surprisingly to some people, an effective debater. He's actually really good. He's aggressive when he needs to be. He's laid back when he doesn't need to be aggressive. And I don't know how Ron DeSantis will handle the personality of Donald Trump. And if he'll be able to effectively stay away from just going into attacks. Up until this point, for the most part, Ron DeSantis has not been getting into personal attacks. He hasn't. He's been focused on his record. And as I've said before, part of the reason why he's focused so much on his record is he wants to make sure that the public is not hearing about his record solely from left-wing media outlets, which go out of their way to present Ron DeSantis as this evil tyrant. Oh my gosh, what, Harry Sisson, that annoying 21-year-old kid who's on Twitter and he's paid by the DNC, through the DNC in a roundabout way. He was out there today saying, Ron DeSantis destroyed Florida. Really? We're going to pretend that Florida is destroyed? Florida has never been flourishing as much as it has been right now under Ron DeSantis. It's just bizarre. And then you've got people like Aisha Mills. Most of you probably haven't heard of her. She's a Democrat strategist. She appears on MSNBC. And she was just on saying in response to the NAACP campaign to put a travel advisory for black people in Florida. She's black. And she's saying, I would never step foot in Florida except for the vacation I literally just took.
Really appreciate the NAACP's guidance on this issue. You know, I just took my family to spring break in Florida recently, and I think about all of the folks who traveled there for sun and joy and peace and restoration. And to be reminded that actually this is getting to the point where Florida is about to be a terrorist state to many of us here in America. Certainly as a lesbian, as a black woman, I don't want to have anything to do with the place.
Oh, I mean, but you just went there on vacation. Did she say that?
She literally said that. It was the start of the clip. Okay. She must have forgot that Florida's bad.
I mean, she was only speaking for 27 seconds when she made that comment.
Short-term memory. That's crazy.
I mean, again, as someone who also goes on TV and it's kind of sometimes easy to forget what you just said, I feel like I've never done it that quickly. I feel like if I'm at the 90-second mark, and I'm almost getting into monologue, and the producer's getting in my ear, okay, shut up, Jason, we got to move on to the next topic. Maybe I'd forget. That whole clip was 28 seconds. I wouldn't step foot in Florida except for when I was just there last week, and it was great, and I had a blast. And I'm probably going to go back. But other than that, I would never step foot as a black woman and a lesbian. Do you know what happened to me? I was able to relax beachside, and our family had fun. Oh, the outrage. But this is the kind of coverage we're going to get. It's absurd. And of course, the media is not going to be just focused on Trump and DeSantis. They'll go after, as they have been for the last 24 hours now, Tim Scott. Senator made his announcement yesterday. He also happens to be black and Republican, which is something you're not supposed to be, according to folks on the left. You are considered a sellout, or you're considered not black enough. They do that for all minority groups. That if you're gay or transgender or Jewish or Muslim or Asian, Latino, oh, you can't be a Republican. They hate you. They hate you. And the more people who identify as Republicans who also come from one of the quote-unquote marginalized groups, the harder it is for Democrats to keep using that smear. And so Joy Behar decided yesterday, a privileged white lady, to school Tim Scott on what it's like to be black in America.
Well, isn't he Professor Positive?
Yes.
Unlike Trump, everything's bad. There's doomsday. He's more in the Reagan-esque morning in America. Things are fabulous. And he's also hedging his bets. He doesn't really go out and say he's not pro-choice exactly. Although he did say, when he said that he would vote for anything they put on the table, the Republicans. So he is not pro-choice. And he's one of these guys who, you know, he's like Clarence Thomas, black Republican who believes in pulling yourself by your bootstraps.
Oh, no.
Rather than, to me, understanding the systemic racism that African Americans face in this country and other minorities. He doesn't get it. Neither does Clarence.
Right.
And that's why they're Republicans.
Oh, yeah. Got it. And then you got Sonny Hostin, TV's dumbest lawyer, there in the background. Yup. The white lady explaining to the two black guys who did, in fact, pick themselves up by the bootstraps to get to a point in history that Joy Behar will never achieve. Joy Behar will not be remembered for much. Clarence Thomas 100% will. Tim Scott will. Now, if it was in reverse and it was a white lady who was, black-splaining or white-splaining, I don't know how to use the term there, towards two black Democrats, if someone got there, if I was on the show, let's say I'm promoting the radio show and we're going national, and they invite me on The View. Somehow I managed to get on The View. And I said to Sonny and Whoopi, you two don't really know what it's like to be black in America. Now, they both come from wealth and privilege, right? They are in incredibly important positions as far as media goes, influential positions. Much like Tim Scott and Clarence Thomas, obviously different level of importance, but they're both in positions of power. And I told them that they don't really understand black America. Would I not get ripped to shreds?
You'd get destroyed.
Would I not be called a racist? Would I not be called out as being another weapon of white supremacy or whatever else they want to put up there? Throw all the buzzwords for how bigoted I am. That's what would happen. And yet, I would argue those people on that panel, regardless of who's talking, doesn't know what it's like being an American who isn't privileged, who doesn't have millions of dollars in the bank, who doesn't have private security, who doesn't have a driver picking them up from their penthouse to get to the studio in New York City. They don't know what it's like to be anything in this country other than wealthy. They live in their little cocoons. They don't leave them. They've got an echo chamber that they feel perfectly comfortable in. They're not exposed to different viewpoints. They're exposed to their own viewpoint shouted out by someone on MSNBC. But they know about systemic racism. Please, two black ladies, tell me about systemic racism and how it's kept you from getting to host a widely viewed show on ABC. I'll wait for that. Because we're told that Tim Scott, Clarence Thomas, They're pushing this idea that you can pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Of course you can't. Okay, well then, how did you get to your position, Whoopi? What did you do? Did you not pull yourself up by your bootstraps? Okay, great. Tell me how you got to the point that you're at. I would love to know. It's absurd. And it's offensive. But they don't care. They'll keep throwing that out there. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. When we come back, a professor out in New York went absolutely nuts against a student at a pro-life display. But bet you didn't expect part two of this story involves a machete. Yeah, we're going to get into that when we come back. You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to The Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. There is a college professor out of Manhattan at Hunter College. Apparently, she works in the art department. And she decided, Shelly-Ann Rodriguez, to just absolutely lose it like a child, a dangerous, petulant child, when she saw pro-life students with a little desk set up or a table set up. They were handing out literature supporting their pro-life position. The group is called Students for Life of America. And they're there minding their own business. From the video that I've seen, they weren't like waving the literature in anyone's face. Read this! They weren't doing any of that. They were just there. And yet Rodriguez got triggered. And she not only confronted them, but she then destroyed the setup. She decided to just throw everything off the table. Pretty pathetic.
You're not educating This is propaganda. What are you going to do, like anti-trans next? Is that what you're going to do next?
Yes, that's what. Yes.
We're talking about abortion. This is This is violent. You're triggering my students.
I'm sorry about that.
You're, no, you're not. Because you can't even have a baby. So you don't even know what that is.
So she says this is violence, right? This is violence or violent, which is so ironic because the only one who was violent there was the professor. She's the one who acted violently. This idea that words are violence, positions that I don't like, that's violence. Silence is violence, but actual violence, not violence. It's remarkable. So a reporter from the New York Post goes down to the school to try to get comment from this teacher. Because obviously, that was not the way that you're supposed to respond. We're told, courtesy of a statement from Hunter College, that they are starting an investigation into the incident. And they said they're taking it very seriously. I can't remember who said it. Someone made the point, an investigation? It's on video. Yeah, it's on video, but you have to technically go through a process, especially when we're talking about teachers. You have to start the process and make sure you're following the, you know, the quote-unquote investigation. And I don't know anything about Hunter College. I have no reason to believe that they won't take it seriously, even if they're a college, and most of them seem to lean pretty heavily to the left. I don't know. So this reporter goes down and tries to get a comment. That reporter, however, well, he technically found her. He did the hard work and I guess went to her office. He found her with a tool in her hand. And by tool, I mean a machete, to which she then threatened to chop him up with. Also, not a healthy response.
Out of here. You can't do that. Let's get out of here. You can't do that. Let's get out of here.
She goes on. She's quoted as saying, I don't hear it in the video, obviously, but she goes on to say, or I'm going to chop you up with this machete. Now she's holding the machete towards him. My God, that is terrifying. That is terrifying. I've been around homeless people who have had machetes and I've been quite a distance away and I get terrified. This was right in his face. How is this someone who isn't immediately terminated? if you're the school, maybe you can get away with not punishing her for the table outburst because, oh, she really was triggered. And this is someone who's, you know, very passionate about women's health care, blah, blah, you know, whatever the talking point is. You can't defend this.
Important question.
Was it sharpened? Yes.
Where did it come from? Did she just have that in her office?
Yeah, it was in her office.
I understand you can acquire a machete. I get that.
You don't carry a machete?
No. Maybe I should start.
Well, maybe she carries a machete the way some people carry firearms.
Oh, okay.
Maybe it's a self-defense machete.
It is New York. You never know.
It's a self-defense machete. It's so odd. Now, Fox News, because this is just breaking now, Fox News reached out to the NYPD to see if they're now involved, and they haven't yet heard back. But this is outrageous. And again, this is the kind of person who is teaching students. Granted, it's art, so she's not teaching students anything. Oh, here's a drawing. But she's in front of impressionable minds, and she is pushing them, I'm willing to bet, down a very political path, even if she is an art teacher. This is nuts. And she held, because I'm looking at some of the images that were taken from the video, screenshotted, and it looks like it's actually at her apartment. She's got the machete up to his neck. Oh, my God. Now, if I were that reporter, not that I like publicity or anything, especially when it's free, I might flail my arms in a way that accidentally makes contact with said machete, gets a little bit of a cut, and then makes a big deal out of it. You're listening to The Jason Rance Show.